yet to pass, penetrating in perfect truth, is seldom met with, even in 100,000 years countless. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I want to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Should the Buddha, should the Dharma, should the Sangha. I've said many times in the last year that this is a time of, a special time of choice. I think it's always the element of choice. Choosing one direction and realizing that when in going that direction was not going another direction is always an aspect of a period of intense, of especially intense training that accompanies the offering from the eternal to go deeper. We tend always to focus a great deal on the externals, the external conditions. That manifests at such a time. And often we focus on the particular choices of other individuals that seem to have got us in the position where we have to make a choice. This is understandable, and it's human to focus in this way. But to stay at such a superficial level is unfortunate and unhelpful at best. The essential thing about a time of choice like this, the only thing that really matters is the truly spiritual. And our external, our choices having to do with external conditions will help lead us deeper in training, or help take us off track in training, precisely to the extent to which we are following the eternal. Holding true to the eternal in the choices that we make. At such a time, terms like the Buddha nature, or the eternal, the cosmic Buddha, can seem less appropriate to the intensely personal nature of the choices that are made. And so it's not surprising that for many of us at the present time, or at least some of us at the present time, it often comes up more in terms of trusting and following, asking and listening to our own heart. And since this is not the egocentric I that we're talking about, it's the same thing as asking and listening, trusting and following the Buddha nature, the eternal, the cosmic Buddha. When I came to this training, when I was 24 years old, for me, it was the continuation of an adventure I had been on for several years. And the adventure of the preceding 3 years or so prepared the way for me to be ready to undertake the truly great lifetime adventure, the one great adventure. A reharmonization with the eternal. I distinctly remember those early years as a monk. It had the feeling of a perpetual adventure. It had a feeling of perpetually being on the edge, of continual hard effort, of continual risk-taking. This was especially true, of course, when we came to 1976. I'd only been a monk a few years at that point. Less than three, actually. But boy, that introduced me to a whole new level of adventure. And it didn't stop there. If one trained with Urban Master Jiyu, if one lived with Urban Master Jiyu, one lived in the shelter of a truly great faith, a great certainty that was hers, and one was constantly challenged just by following her. To continue on in one's own adventure. For me, this started all over again when I left the Abbey and came up to Washington State to start a new temple. And the continuing adventure has been accentuated by events ever since. We have a little hermitage out at the coast, and there's a sign along the road someone put up out in the middle of nowhere there in the country. A big sign says, if you sacrifice your liberty in order to have security, you will lose both your liberty and your security. And while I'm not quite sure what motivated that individual to put that sign up, there's a great deal of truth in that. I would be the last person to advocate recklessly abandoning all security or irresponsibly abandoning all material or physical and social security. I mean other people, the company of others and support of others. And sometimes the eternal calls to step out of the known and enter the unknown. Leave behind what is comfortable, what is familiar. In the ordination ceremony, there are the words of a monk. There are the words, being apart from my family in order to seek for the truth, I vow to help others. A genuine adventure genuinely throws one back upon one's own inner resources. A deep and true spiritual following always exposes one's aloneness. In ways that are at times frightening and painful. To follow in the footsteps of the Buddhas and ancestors takes a great deal of courage. In ancient times, many monks left the familiar, often in their old age, and launched off into unknown territories, taking the teachings of the Buddha with them. There are, of course, very famous examples, Bodhidharma, Dogen. Do we stop to consider the human cost to Bodhidharma of leaving all that was familiar to him and going to a country where he did not even speak the language? When Dogen went to China with Mio Zen, who at that point was his teacher, Dogen became so ill that he nearly died and damaged his health for the rest of his short life. He died at age of 53. And Mio Zen died in China. Dogen returned alone with Nyojo's transmission. The following of the eternal has many twists and turns. Sometimes we're at a point where we realize how much we are supported and helped by others. Sometimes, often immediately thereafter, we're at a point where we realize how much we have to fall back on our own inner resources. and that no other person can help us in that situation. Only the Eternal can help us. Sometimes both manifest at the same time. And sometimes we feel utterly lost and remote from both God and man. In this process, there is no substitute for pure faith. There is no substitute for having the courage of one's convictions. There's no substitute for a profound commitment to the path that one has undertaken and a willingness to pay the price, no matter what it may be. The very beginning of How to Grow Lotus Blossom, River Master talks about ordinary religion and says that it seeks to console our fears. And it said that deeper religion offers us the opportunity to transcend our fears. Not the same thing. The life of discipleship in Buddhism involves a deep commitment to following a human master. And the ultimate meaning of that goes beyond any human being, any other human being. It has to do with our own following of the Eternal. Rav Master said so many times, the Master is not God, and the Master represents the Eternal for the disciple. That representing is incredibly important. And it is very important that the disciple trust steps taken by the master even when he or she does not understand them. Because much more will be asked in the direct following of the Eternal. There can be no genuine spiritual freedom until one can follow the Eternal without seeking any guarantee, any assurance, any understanding. Then one is truly living the great adventure.